This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
Hello.
What's up, everybody?
Ladies.
This is the Miss Q podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Take two.
Live from the lineupmedia.fm studios. It's the Three Horsemen show. I'm your host, Corey. Joining me is Alex, T.O., Eric, and Big Easy.
Oh, hello, everyone.
How are you, gentlemen?
Doing good.
Good. Let's talk to Big E. How was your vacay?
It was pretty good. Got to see some mountains. Got to see some ocean. Same as it was last time.
Did you get to see Delaware?
No, I didn't. Did I go through? I may have went through Delaware. It's really forgettable every time.
Such an exciting state.
I did Connecticut.
Where were you at in Maine?
York, right on the ocean.
York, Maine.
York.
Dick Sargent, Dick York, hey, Dick. Sergeant York.
What's up? The internet's out?
Yeah, we'll fuck anything out.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not going to fuck anything up. We'll get right back to the deal.
Oh, no, we're still streaming. It was only the wireless.
That's right. We're back today with you, ladies and gentlemen. We're just starting on a hot streak is what we're doing. We're ready to roll today as we are here in the Lineup Media Group studios bringing you the Hulk Hogan podcast. It's everything Hulk Hogan you've ever wanted to talk about and not wanted to talk about. All wrapped into one. What do you guys think of us doing a Hulk Hogan show?
Great.
Awesome. I'm excited about it, to be honest.
That's good. The belts definitely back you up. I see white and black here. We've got, if you are listening on iTunes, obviously you can't see this, but you can join us on YouTube. Numeral Three Horsemen Show, / all that shit. It's usually up here. But anyway, tell us. Come on, you've got the black and the white.
Yep. So standard black winged eagle on the left, my left, probably your right if you're watching.
It's all right. Yeah.
Pretty much the belt that was iconic for Hogan for however many years he had it, and then I brought the white one in because, and we'll probably talk about this in more detail. This was the version he had on the No Holds Barred movie.
Rip him.
Yeah.
What
was it?
Rip him.
It was like this, man. Remember? Rip him.
Okay. I got it.
You got to break your fingers to really get the.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I get you. Well, before we get going on Hulk Hogan, I want to tell you to check out Yo Radio. It's yoradio.com, is it not?
Yoradio.com.
Yoradio.com. Go there. You can download the app. Get that in there. Streaming, we have all the channels streaming. We've got our Lineup Media channel streaming. You can hear all the shows that we produce here out of beautiful Edwardsville, Illinois. And go check us out on YouTube. Just type in the Three Horsemen Show. You'll find us.
Yeah,
you'll find our Facebook and Twitter. We haven't done jack shit with those lately either. And before we get started, we wanted to send out our condolences from the show. We got bad news. Nobody died, but they are on life support. But we wanted to send our condolences to the UFC.
Oh, shit.
They jumped the shark this weekend.
Hardcore.
We know that.
They even hired Fozzy to come in or Fonzie to come in.
It's really sad.
So I want to know, how do you look at this? Because you can look at it two ways.
I knew I could get him going.
No. I agree with you. But so you can make the argument that the two biggest stars that appeared at UFC events this weekend were WWE personalities.
You can't make that argument. That's a fact.
But do you look at it? Rousey was at the Hall of Fame and Lesnar after the fight. Yeah. But at the same time, what does it say about WWE, their talent, being at UFC? Now, Rousey's there for the Hall of Fame, obviously. But your champion, who hasn't defended the belt since WrestleMania, who can't cut his own fucking promo on TV, mm-hmm. has to have a mouthpiece.
Or at UFC without dropping F-bombs.
That's the best promo that man's ever cut.
I agree.
And I mean, obviously,
I don't know. The one where he said, "I'm going to go home and fuck my wife," was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. I know where you're coming from. But the guy can talk if it's very short and simple, which is all he would need to do in wrestling. He doesn't need to go out there and do a fucking monologue.
Yeah, but he did it, and it wasn't any good, his first trip.
So, point being is, does it make Vince look weak? Does
no.
it make the company look weak?
No.
That, how do you say no?
Because there's a difference between shoot fighting and fake wrestling, and one...
No. What I'm saying is, though, is you have a guy that hasn't been on TV, hasn't done anything since WrestleMania, probably going to drop the belt at SummerSlam, but I actually think he's not going to. I think he has a one-off to fight. He can't fight until January. But that pisses wrestling fans off. It has to.
Well, it doesn't even matter what it means to wrestling fans. You're giving a guy who has never not been on steroids, you're going to have him go face off in your fucking big championship match. That's going to be UFC's next big thing. And he's going to feel a piss test after he fucking wins the match.
He won't. He's going to get
two fucking times.
He's going to get knocked out by a guy that looks like a fucking butterball turkey. And the point being,
not if he's on fucking steroids and it's over in 30 seconds.
Like a rag doll,
Cormier will finish him in the first round.
You're wrong.
Oh yeah,
you're wrong, Mox.
I promise you, there's zero chance it doesn't happen.
They are dead.
He does not like
dead on arrival.
He does not like getting hit. He's not going to be able to out wrestle Cormier. Cormier was an Olympian. Brock Lesnar was a Division
One
champion.
Comes in there at fucking 265 pounds. He is not going to be able to out wrestle Cormier.
No.
Jacked ass Brock Lesnar.
He's not going to come in like that. He's going to get tested all the way through camp.
Right, but he can still at 265. He can still make 265 easily. I mean, that dude will bulk up as much as he
doesn't matter.
Can.
DC weighed 242.
I don't see DC doing it. Not to Brock. Brock's too big for that guy.
No, he's not.
John Jones whipped him like a fucking rag doll. I mean, DC had no prayer against John Jones.
Okay, so do you think Brock Lesnar would beat Stipe? No. You think DC would beat Kane?
Do I think Stipe got lucky this weekend? Absolutely. Well,
how'd Stipe get lucky? He got knocked the fuck out.
Not Stipe. Daniel Cormier got lucky.
He set that whole thing up. He was giving him the underhook to set up the dirty boxing fucking... I mean, it was textbook what he did. It was beautiful. It wasn't luck. He baited him into it.
It looked like luck to me.
No.
No, he set him up.
He was setting him up. That is a technique. And he kept getting him, and then he dead-armed him to where he pulls out
right.
and gave the space for the uppercut.
Yeah, he got
it. It was such a great fight that they had a pro wrestler come in and cut a promo at the end of the match.
What I was worried is that...
He got the promo before Brock ever got in there, though.
Oh, it was all set up!
Yeah, you could see it like they pointed at
Brock. Don't tell me this shit
isn't
fucking fake!
100%.
So Daniel Cormier and fucking Stipe Miocic, they told both those guys, they said, hey, when you're done, if you win, just call out Brock Lesnar so he can come in, push you, make you look like a bitch, and set up the next fight where he will fight you, fail the piss test afterwards, and then watch all this money go to waste. Just go to Dana White.
How do you get it?
All the money goes to Dana White.
I don't know, man.
How do you get a title
DC's
shot coming off of a steroid fight?
He hasn't won a fight in, I mean, I don't know when
how
the last fight was.
How do you get these title shots like
no,
this?
No, the
dude.
Problem is the UFC needs to make money. They sold
$4 billion.
Yes. So
unbelievable.
What's going to be your big pay-per-view? Lesnar's your biggest draw. Come back. Rousey will never fight again because she doesn't like getting hit either.
No, yeah, she got beat up bad.
But I think this is Brock's last go with everything.
Jesus.
I think he makes anywhere between $6 and $10 million on this last UFC fight.
Gives right. it all back at the end, yeah.
Gives what all back?
Gives all the money back. He's going to forfeit.
Oh, no.
He was on steroids.
He's not going to test positive.
Oh, yes, he is.
No, he won't. I mean...
By the way, for all of you watching on the web stream, we promise that we're not just talking to a MacBook. Tim is actually here.
Tim, again.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Yep. I'm trying to get that corporate sponsorship from Apple.
Every time. That'll do it.
But no, I think, I mean, Cormier has already said, I won't fight him dirty, that he would pay for extra testing. So he's going to go in there clean.
Of course.
I don't care if Lesnar comes in 300 pounds jacked up. I don't think Lesnar beats Cormier.
You don't even think on fucking steroids he beats Cormier.
Well, one, he better beat him in 30 seconds because he ain't going to last.
I mean, Cormier's beat the best of the best at heavyweight.
I understand.
He just looks bad. Like, he just doesn't look like he's conditioned. He doesn't look, Yeah,
he's got that Roy Nelson belly.
Yeah, but I mean, fucking Overeem knocked him out. Stipe mopped Overeem. I mean, you start looking at the guys like...
Right.
And MMA math never works. So, I mean, you can say this and that, but just stylistically, no. I think DC's been taken down once in his career, and it was by Jones, or twice by Jones, which is a smaller guy, but he was a JUCO national champ. Cormier is an Olympic wrestler. He's by far regarded as the best MMA wrestler at his weight class. Lesnar is more of a single leg, double leg, shoot in, try to get a leg type of wrestler.
Right.
He's not going to be able to do that with Cormier. Like, so
it'll be interesting.
If it's close, he's going to get outstruck because Lesnar's not very good with his hands. The only way Lesnar wins if he ends up on top from a takedown, and I don't see how that happens. I mean, Mark Hunt was a perfect style for him. You know, a banger, but has no wrestling defense.
Right.
So that allows him to look good. And I mean, he didn't look great in that fight.
Not as great as he should have.
He's out of breath in the first fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah, so I think it makes WWE look good in one sense, and in another breath, it makes them look bad.
Doesn't make WWE look bad at all.
No, it makes UFC look horrible.
Oh, my God. Talk about just fucking murdering your own product.
The script was blatant at the end, but DC is a huge wrestling fan. He's the biggest wrestling fan out of anyone on the UFC roster.
Okay, people don't want to hear that shit.
Huge wrestling fan. He's known Lesnar since their day. Like, they both went to junior college first. Oklahoma State is where Cormier went. Lesnar was at Minnesota. So for 2 years, DC wrestled 197. Lesnar was a heavyweight.
He should have fought CM Punk. Why didn't he fight CM Punk?
Good match.
But I think that, like, Cormier made the comment that, you know, I was kind of surprised Brock pushed me because we used to go to the WWF shows, like, before Brock had came into MMA and he'd take pictures with my kids and... So, like, it was clearly all scripted. I mean, that's all bullshit. But when he called Stipe a piece of shit by accident, he meant to say Francis and Lewis were pieces of shit. Yeah. He said, Francis and piece of shit, Stipe Miocic's a piece of shit. I was like, he might get knocked the fuck out backstage. He's going to find one big, angry fucking Croatian back there right. That's going to fucking knock him out.
He's from Ohio, isn't he?
Yeah, Cleveland. But I just don't like how Lesnar's done nothing. He has done zero for the company. He's making the most money. And
it's a big draw, man. That's what he's doing for the company. He's bringing people into the fucking seats. He's filling them up.
But does that do anything for WWE anymore? Like, Lesnar going back and fighting, like, all that does is hurt him, in my opinion, if he gets beat by someone that is built like Cormier.
Nobody cares.
I don't know. Yeah, if he goes back to WWF or WWE and...
they don't give a shit.
No, they'll welcome him with open arms and they'll
give him a great
match.
The thing is, with Rousey, though...
He'll fill the house there, too. The
thing is, with Rousey and WWE, she's believable. Like, I've seen her get knocked out, but I still know she'd kick the shit out of any of those girls on that roster.
And all those guys on the roster.
And about a third of the men on the roster.
Oh, for sure.
100% guaranteed. You think Drew Gulak's going to beat her up?
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Okay, you saw how well... You think CM Punk would beat Ronda Rousey? Honestly.
I don't know.
I would hope he outweighs her by 70 pounds.
He doesn't outweigh her by 70 pounds.
Okay, not when he starves himself for 6 weeks to go into a fight to get the shit kicked out of him.
He could weigh 250 and not beat her at anything because he can't fucking punch. He can't do... I mean...
All right. Well, okay, that's... You're right. He's never been in a fucking fight in his life, most likely, but come on.
The two that we've seen him get his ass beat in.
We said it before. He got his ass fucking completely handed to him.
Yeah. He's not an athlete or a... Never mind.
Bad.
I'm not.
There are a few guys that aren't athletes in that company right now.
Fine. Whatever. Are we done with this shit yet?
Real quick. You think Enzo Amore, you think he'd beat her ass?
Gary, they're talking about the UFCs. Get in here.
No, seriously, do you think Enzo would whoop her ass?
I don't know.
No, the answer is no. So when Lesnar comes back and they bill him as this unbeatable monster, all right, well, I just watched a guy that's has no muscle definition anywhere knock him out. Now, Lesnar still beats anyone in the company's ass, but there's still not that belief. It's just a different standard.
Who wins, Ronda or Brock Lesnar?
In a fight?
That's the question we need to ask.
In a fight, Ronda and Lesnar.
Tell you what,
Big Easy, who wins?
Cyborg might knock Lesnar out.
No, Lesnar, Cyborg eats
Cyborg,
him
maybe.
Wait, what?
She eats him
no.
Unless we're talking about her husband.
She does not.
Her ex-husband.
Come on,
does he
man.
He still fight after his caved-in face?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Jeez.
Hey, have you got the music queued up?
I do, actually. Would you
hit that shit.
Play my music.
All right. Man. This is what you wanted. Oh,
this is what you wanted. This is what you're going to get. I am a
real American. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Say what?
Oh. See?
So good.
Come on, Eric, rip the shirt off.
Boom, boom.
It's a thin shirt. I can do it, but I have to go and get another one.
It's a good tune.
I like me some Rick Derringer.
So if you're between, what, 25 and 40?
This makes the hair on your arm stand up?
This is like a childhood anthem?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is. Right, originally, who's the song originally for?
Not sure who it was originally
the US
for.
U.S. Express.
The U.S. Express.
Wow.
Wyndham and Rotunda.
I did not know that.
Then Rotunda flips shit. Leaves the company. Barry Windham says, I'm going to go with him. Rotunda changes his mind the next day and goes back, and Windham's stuck heading back down to Florida.
That sucks.
It's a tough deal. Rick Derringer, Real American, how you doing? We're here to talk about Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, Terry Boulder, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, we're Sterling Golden in
we're
there.
Sterling Golden, obviously Hollywood Hogan. You know, whatever you want to call him. And call him up in Canada, call him Hulk Hogan. Thunder Lips in the Flesh, Bebe. Mm-hmm. Bebe was around before any of this A-Bebe shit in 2007 or 8 or whatever the fuck. Hulk Hogan, what first springs to mind, gentlemen, when you think of the name? Hulk Hogan.
WrestleMania 3.
Slam and Andre.
That's it.
Number one on the list.
Yeah, probably.
How about you, gentlemen? What springs to mind?
I just think most iconic wrestler of all time, and that's coming from somebody that, as a kid, Hogan was my favorite wrestler, but
of course
now, you know, I appreciate more of the technical wrestling aspect. So I
Jim
would say,
Powers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Childhood. I mean, period. Just like it just that's, reminds me of being a kid.
That's my answer. Same thing. Yeah. My entire childhood. I'm thinking blue barbells. Python powder.
Just yeah.
Everybody's right there with me, I guess.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean just
Hogan wristbands, Hogan sleeping bag,
yes.
Giant
some merchandise.
Giant, I mean
the merch
2 foot tall giant. Hogan action figure and
fucking A, I had that.
Wrestling buddy.
Yeah, for sure the wrestling buddies. Mm-hmm. Big Easy, what springs to mind?
I think of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That beautiful, beautiful hair.
The hair.
The hair.
Interesting.
You remember that time?
Early hair or now hair?
Well, it's always kind of been this way.
You know, I think he's got extensions into his hair.
I hope not.
I'm not kidding you.
You remember after the Three Ninjas movie he did and he come back and he was, you know, really kind of Hollywood-y and he had that fucking fake hairpiece right on top?
Oh, brutal.
That was so fun.
I'm not kidding. I think he has hair extensions
24-inch pythons for real, though. That's what I think of.
Into his hair. I'm not shitting you. This happened like 10 years ago. In fact, I think it happened on Hogan Knows Best. Or after the show ended and she left, Linda, sweetheart of a gal, she used to dye his hair, and I think the first time he did it, all his hair fell out. So he's had extensions. You've never noticed that it's exactly the right length on each side?
What'd she do, use Roundup to do his hair?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be something because, I mean, there are, you know, I think clips from that show where it's, you know, he's like coming out of the pool or getting out of the shower or whatever. His hair is just like to his ears. It's not down to his shoulders. So he's got something going on.
Well, right, because hair naturally attaches, and now you don't see the getting out of the pool. It's always the bandana over the top of the extensions. I'm not fucking kidding.
Why can't the guy just shave his fucking head?
Well,
just give it up.
I guess he's never gotten the right role. Guess that. Steve Austin.
What do you mean, getting the right role? I don't think he's gotten a role in quite some time.
The guy's a standout acting something.
Has he done a movie in the last 15 years?
20.
I don't remember him doing anything.
American Dad.
Well, let's put it this way. Do you think WWE is going to come calling if he's bald without the hair?
Yeah. Attach the extensions to the fucking bandana. You doesn't have to take the bandana off, damn
you
it.
You buy those bandanas that just have the fucking blonde pulling out of the bottom of them like the fucking hippie hat.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we do all agree that he will be back with WWE within the year.
Yeah. That's what I told Eric about, I don't know, 30 minutes ago whenever we were...
trying to do the show?
Late getting on here. But I said give it 12 months, 18 months max, and he'll be back.
He's back, yeah.
For sure.
But like Alex and I were saying, he won't be wrestling. I mean, what's he gonna do? How old is he?
I mean, he'll just do the
He'll be back for some
WrestleMania. He'll do an appearance. Just
go speak to
shit.
A boys' club in like Harlem. Be a good gig.
You know what though? He was a huge United Way guy. I mean, in all honesty.
Oh yeah, UNICEF. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to brush off that racism. It's hard to scrub her off. Last time I checked. Let's talk about. Those phone calls were private.
What you say to your family doesn't mean you really feel that way.
The phone calls, that was the tape stuff. Are you talking about the phone calls to his kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were brutal.
Those were Mel Gibson. Those were shades of Mel Gibson.
Those were, I'm going to get you out of jail no matter what it takes. That was not good.
Those are in private. Just because he feels that way in his comfort zone doesn't really mean he's a racist outside his comfort zone.
Again, are we talking about the... God damn it. Let's get to the beginning.
This is going to turn into a four-parter.
It's definitely going to be a two.
The racial stuff came out in the Gawker lawsuit.
Right.
The phone calls were him like...
calling his kid.
Talking about the family of the kid that died and...
we're going to get you out of jail no matter what.
Some stuff that wasn't the kindest, which is kind of a pattern in Hogan's career of outlandish shit. Like, he was offered to be the front man of Metallica.
The guy's
full of shit. I mean, like,
Andre weighed 700 pounds when he slammed him.
Oh, yeah.
800
pounds by that time.
Yeah, the guy is apparently known for telling...
he stretches the truth.
Tall tales.
Nothing wrong with that. He's a fucking celebrity. Here we go. Let's start at the beginning. So, Hogan's a Tampa kid, grew up down in the Florida area. Apparently, he grew up on Championship Wrestling from Florida. I don't know how much you can believe in that. He said, you know, the first time he saw Superstar Billy Graham, he knew he wanted to be a wrestler. The first time he saw Dusty Rhodes, he knew he wanted to be a wrestler. So I don't know. The truth is somewhere in between. Somebody probably saw him, realized he was 6'6", and said, hey, if you get on steroids, you can make a bunch of fucking money.
So he did.
Have you ever seen the training videos of him?
Uh-uh.
Like 75, 77 around that time? It had to be 75. There's no way he got that big in a year in 77. He's the skinniest motherfucker you'd ever see in a wrestling ring.
Really?
He was in a band, and you could...
Metallica. No?
No. Oh. Not quite. But yeah, I mean, he was in high school. He was in a band, and he played bass. Yeah, he did play bass. He was tall, but he was not jacked at all.
I mean, no,
he was just a normal sized kid. I mean, I think he played football, but he was probably.
He didn't play before. No,
you sure?
I can tell you by the way he moves. He didn't ever.
He played something.
Baseball.
Was it baseball? Yeah. Okay, I knew he played something, but. So he was an athlete, but, I mean, he was probably 200, 210 at best at that point.
Mm.
I think he was more.
Yeah, I guess. No, I don't think he was more.
I mean...
What was the band name? Striper? What band was he in? Anybody know?
Metallica.
Okay. What? No, he had a band name. He was in a band.
What was Metallica called before they were Metallica then?
Motherfucker. No, I don't know. I'm serious. What was the band name? Somebody give me the fucking band name.
Band.
Some people are going to need to know this listening if they haven't already turned it off.
Is it the Wrestling Boot Band?
Oh, you guys are not helping me. I'm not talking
Google
about when he
says Metallica.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
I'm looking it up.
Ruckus?
Ruckus. There it is.
Yep. Here comes
the
Ruckus.
He was in a band called Ruckus.
The Thuggish Ruckus Ball.
That's right. So he's in a band, Ruckus. He goes and goes down. He went to school with Mike Graham. Apparently, Mike Graham confirmed that. They take him down to the gym. If you've seen the film, how they train guys in Florida, not the easiest training, but apparently Hiro Matsuda brings him in first day, breaks his ankle. This is the legend. Who knows how true it is? Breaks his ankle. He comes back the next day, so he's in. He comes back after it heals after 6-8 weeks, whatever happens. He gets into the business down south. He basically works in Southeastern Championship Wrestling as Sterling Golden, Terry Boulder, a number of names. But I'm looking through these matches. God, I forgot he had the match with Harley Race where they said he was the uncrowned champion. So that's how they treated him down in Southeastern Championship Wrestling. But I don't know if you guys knew this either. When they were down there, he ran a program with Andre. Even before he was Hulk Hogan in New York, they had arm wrestling matches. They had, they wrestled in as early as 70. Let me look. Oh, we don't have it.
79.
Yeah, it was as early as 79. But he gets his big break and he goes to the WWF. So have you guys watched him in these early days?
Not before, not the pre-steroid one you're talking about.
No, he was on steroids.
Oh, still was. Interested to see that.
Yeah, I mean, he was on roids as soon as he got in the business. I mean, just immediately. He had to have been.
He went from what? What were your guessing? 210?
At the most.
He was 300 pounds by the time he was wrestling full go.
He was 3. They were billing him as 325.
Just he blew up.
Well, that, yeah.
Blew up.
Jesus.
Yeah, and he went to WWF, Triple WF. Fred Blassie was his manager. He would have these two-on-one handicap matches, and he just looked like, have you ever seen like a deer on ice? That's what it looked like. It just bad.
He was super, super green. It was,
yeah, and he had been in the business 3 years.
Yeah.
And he was still dreadful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure the trips to Japan helped him get his feet under him, but he goes through the whole stuff. He does the program with Backlund. He does a program with Andre. So what breaks him out, he goes to the AWA because Vince McMahon Sr. won't let him do Rocky III and wrestle. So he does Rocky III. Now, you guys were talking about this before I came in. What were your guys' thoughts on Rocky III, the whole Thunderlips thing?
It was kind of cheesy, but whatever. It was for the moves. You know, why would he turn that role down? I mean, there'd be no point in turning it down. It was probably fucking good money. Mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone is a fucking Rocky sequel.
Hey, right.
Do it. Do it. You know what I mean?
Bacardi and Cola, do it?
Yeah, do it, do it.
Okay, that completely broke him wide open. Like, I mean, he was on Johnny Carson because of that. Oh, yeah. He went over to Japan. He became just gigantic in Japan. And, I mean, he was on his way to superstardom in the AWA. He had a couple matches with Bockwinkel where they raised prices the second time around. And the whole thing that got him out of the AWA, you know the story here?
Keep going. I think I know some of it, but I would probably defer to you.
Well, Hogan was selling merch, and not many people did that at the time, but he had T-shirts he was making himself and selling them. And Gagne's deal with him, he said, okay, here's the deal. I get half of your merchandise. You can go to Japan. We're going to put the belt on you. Hogan says, what the? No. Well, according to him, anyway. And according to Gagne said he wasn't good enough to put the belt on. But that was old-time thinking. Whatever. So McMahon sends him gets him wherever he gets him when he's doing his takeover, which you can go back in our archives and check all this out. Hogan goes to Japan, sends a telegram saying, I'm leaving. So they lose Hulk Hogan at the exact time that WWF is taking over. Is anybody familiar with the AWA?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So the AWA was basically your 1A, 1B with the Triple WF. Well, by now, we'll go WWF.
Right.
So how much does this change? Could you guys imagine if they hadn't gotten Hogan? If WWF hadn't gotten Hogan?
If he went the NWA route?
Well, just stayed in the AWA. Stayed in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think we would have had territories for a lot longer.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so if they don't get Hogan, who's their Hulk Hogan?
I don't know. Vinnie Mac really did a number picking Hogan. It was a good choice.
Well, shit, yeah.
You know, and he also got to consider, too, if he didn't have Vinnie Mac and his booking team, would Hogan have blown up like he did?
Yes.
You think so?
Regardless? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was fucking gigantic.
I mean, if you go back and watch AW.
Because he ran the loop. I mean, like, didn't he run the loop, too?
Yeah, he did. He did everything. He was going to St. Louis. He did some shots for the NWA.
I mean, what Corey said about him selling his own merch, all it was just a red shirt with white letters that said American Made. And those things just sold like crazy. I mean, it was just a simple red shirt with white text on it. Wasn't anything special. But
now, was he with Linda at this time?
They got married at the end of 83.
So was she? I wonder if she was behind any of this.
Oh, well, I mean, if you wanted to go make serious money, she was behind it at the end, wasn't she? No, I mean, yes.
I agree. It was probably a family decision long term to go to WWF. I mean, but
he was already buying up. And like I said, we did this show. Check our archives about the takeover. And I think it's the first episode we talked about this. He was already buying TV spots. I mean, it was going down.
When did Hogan start doing the merch his own, though?
83.
So that's what I'm curious about, is if she had any of the foresight or the idea of doing it, if she made the shirts physically. Because, you know, he's not doing it. Usually stuff like then, you know, had someone making them. I'm curious if that light bulb went off on his own.
Knowing that fucker, he had a guy. Everybody's always got a guy.
Because he did turn down the Foreman grill for a fucking spaghetti maker or whatever.
Pastamania. But I also look back at Vern. Vern's the one who got him doing his interviews to start that way, tearing the shirt, hulking up. All that stuff started there. It didn't start in WWF.
The formula for his match was already there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bockwinkel tells him, he says, here's A, here's B, here's 1, 2, 3, this is that spot, that's that spot. He had a formula. Which good guys did have a formula back then.
Always.
And plus, he wasn't the best wrestler. If you do want to watch him wrestle, watch his Japan shit.
That's why I was telling Eric before the show started.
Dude, he could wrestle.
Oh yeah.
He wrestled Hansen over there. He was him and Abdul the Butcher was big over there. Dusty Rhodes, Brody. I mean, he didn't wrestle all those guys, but he was definitely wrestling Hansen.
So let's just...
teaming with Hansen.
If you fast forward it to this current day and age, Hulk Hogan comes into WWE now.
And is the biggest star.
No, what I'm saying, though, is people would shit on his matches. Peel. He could only do, you know, what was it? The five moves of Doom. Who they... Was it?
That's Cena.
Cena. I mean, they get on Cena for having five moves. Cena can work when he wants to.
True.
Or when he's put in that position.
Now. But 15 years later.
Hogan would be, you know, he'd have the look, but people, you know... Oh, he can't do this, he can't do that. Just the critical nature of people today, especially in the wrestling and internet wrestling community.
Well, I think a lot of that is because they're starting to realize the demographic of the people that are watching their product realize, oh, we need to actually probably put on some decent matches because that's what's going to get us ratings. That's what's, you know, I'm talking as if I'm a WWE exec. Sure, we can sell all the merch we want, but... It's not all about just marketing superstars anymore. I mean, that's part of it. But kind of like you said, I mean, if Cena does a match now, you know, he does more than this five moves. I mean, he'll bust out a suplex off the top rope or something like
that
once in a while.
Whatever other move the guy has that he can do, he'll try doing it.
It's truth.
But I think with what your point was right now with Fox taking over SmackDown, they're going, like, they just can't get away with subpar stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you'll see the product change, at least on that show, to where it's more hybred of their product.
But that's fine, but Hogan also looked very different than anything.
Than everybody else.
Ever had in WWF. Yes. I take that back. He was a superstar Billy Graham. I mean, they looked very similar.
But he looked different than everybody else.
Oh, my God. But he was a star. That's why everybody in New York knew him, was because he had been there before, but it was almost like they had a new demographic coming in at that time because it was getting bigger, and then they drew kids in because McMahon's a fucking genius. So that look translated into, you know, we can make dolls now. We can have this guy looks like $1 million.
Action figures.
Right. Hey, AWA did the same thing the next year, so it's not like they nobody was copying the formula.
If Hogan doesn't make the jump, how much longer do you think territories survive?
No. They don't survive.
Yeah, I mean,
eventually he goes to New York. It's just how much longer could he have carried the AWA and they had gotten somebody ready? Because he was going to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say it probably would have lasted maybe 3 years max.
So who did they get in instead of Hogan? Who could have run? Who could have carried that ball instead of Hogan? Dusty Rhodes is my only guy I can even think of.
As the baby face. That's
yep.
The...
If they don't get Hogan, I mean, they could always reach out to Flair and see if they could do something with him. But
how
mean,
does
even... No, you're going to say what I was going to say. Even then, I think it's, you know, Flair didn't have that big...
Yeah, he was 6'6" and fucking
right.
300 pounds,
right.
Tan to the max, and kids loved him.
But who do you think could have had that spot? I mean, it would have been Kerry Von Erich?
Maybe, if you can get him looking to stop being...
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, looking at guys off
Kerry
physique and build, I mean, Von Erich's one of the only guys I can think of.
At that point, Luger was kind of coming up. I mean, he was in Florida in 85-ish.
Yeah. Ugh. God, he was brutal, too.
I said he was so bad at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, so was Hogan, though.
Yeah.
Hogan wasn't great, but he had been in the business 7 years when he got his gigantic break.
I give you that. I mean, he had the experience factor. I mean, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, Hogan goes in there January 23rd, 84. Everybody knows Hulkamania is born, all that. Match with the Iron Sheik. He makes Iron Sheik look like a fucking miniature in that match. You guys ever watch that?
No, I read about it, though.
I mean, Iron Sheik was not that big standing next to Hulk Hogan. I mean, he looked like a little kid. It's incredible.
Iron Sheik's a pretty big guy, too.
Yeah, well, he's no slouch. I mean, I'm not saying, and this is where the Vern Gagne called him and told him to break a Hollywood jabroni, all that horse shit. But Hogan is off and running, and now they're off and running. They bought out St. Louis, so Hogan was here a bunch, wrestling at the Chase stuff, all that. But now Hogan's a juggernaut, and this leads into, you know, McMahon got all these guys to come with him. Hogan said, you know, David Schultz, come with me. They start running. Like, they would go to Minnesota with the WWF in their own backyard and run that match. That's how he fucked people. That's how McMahon, like, would ruin people's towns. He'd take their top two guys and go run that match in their city. It's not, it's pretty nasty. But have you guys gone back? I mean, I've seen every Hogan match that I can possibly see, and they're not ones that you want to rewatch. As a kid, obviously, I was glued. But have you guys gone back and seen, like, he wrestled Big John Studd, Piper, Schultz, Morocco, Beefcake, Valentine? It's endless. He just wrestled everyone.
Not really.
On a loop.
And each match is practically the same.
Very much.
I mean, standard 7-8 minute match. Starts off hot, the heel gets, you know, the upper hand for a few minutes. Hogan does his comeback, Hulk up thing, boot, leg drop, match is over.
Yeah, no shit, boot and leg drop.
Unless you know, if it's like a house show, they'll throw in Hogan getting DQ'd here and there, or the heel getting DQ'd. But I mean, for the most part, they're all the same.
Yes, they are.
They're saying guys. I think it was on Pritchard they were talking about when they would main event against Hogan on house shows back in the day. They would make between, like, let's say he said 15 and 20,000 or 10 and 20,000, like, that night. Like, it was such a big pay jump when drawing the house, and then your spot against Hogan on the card meant that much money. So it was always the argument of the heel not selling merch. Oh, you'd get the work against Hogan. That would be the offsetting piece of it.
Well, and part of the time, too, I mean, you would think nowadays that would be, you know, the last match on the card. Some of the time, it would be second or third to last match, and, you know, they wrestled Hogan, they got their payoff, and then they can leave before the show's even over.
Oh, I went to cards where he was before intermission.
Yeah.
He was gone, and if they ran a matinee, he'd go wrestle. If he was in St. Louis,
two times in a day.
We saw it, yeah. He'd went to Cape Girardeau and wrestled that night.
Yeah.
Jump on a plane, head down. Fucker did everything.
It's a way to make some money.
Well, I mean, look at how much money he made, all those guys.
Lots.
I mean, I think we talked about the first dolls, those paychecks they got for them, and how they didn't figure the percentages right, and guys were getting $400,000 checks or $180,000 checks.
So Beefcake was one of the lowest selling, and I cite that because it was just on this last week on Pritchard's podcast, but he made his first check was for $20,000. And he was literally like the shittiest guy they made one of. He was like a low end heel that had just been introduced. So think about what these other guys were making.
Think about what Hogan made.
That's the question.
Everybody had Hogan. I mean, that's probably, he probably cashed in, $1 million checks in a couple months?
I'd bet, yeah, with everything, with merch across the board, yeah.
I mean, they had Hogan, Andre, Big John Studd, Snuka, Sheik. I think that was it. That was the first round.
Yeah.
And Snuka was a fucking big deal. And look at all the guys they used Hogan to get everybody over. They used him to get help. Snuka was already pretty over, but Junkyard Dog, Hillbilly Jim.
He was killing people. He was so over.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Always bringing up the dust. Anybody have any good Hogan merchandise that we haven't mentioned? I was trying to think of all the stuff that he had. The workout set was my favorite one.
I don't remember that. The Python powder, I don't remember.
Really?
Python powder, no. What is that?
Came with your workout kit.
Idiot.
Wow.
Blue weights, wristbands, a headband. You had Python powder. I don't know that I ever even drank it.
Yeah. I hope not. You're still here, so you probably didn't.
I can imagine. It was probably just one of the early supplements they made that
IcoPro used 10 years later.
Well, I mean, it was probably, think about it, it was probably like, what do you put in stuff to make chocolate milk? Or, yeah, Bosco or something.
Yeah, just the
powder.
Yeah.
And just sell it, put it in a bag. Here, buy this for $20.
Jesus.
God, fucking McMahon was a genius.
I like the WrestleMania board game.
I still have that.
You better be selling that on eBay.
Made by Acclaim. Yeah, I don't have the videotape that came with it. I know. I've got it. It's sitting down in my basement now, which will be, it's going to be something.
We'll do a Cribs version of that.
Oh, we will one day. Where can we go to get Big Easy and Eric involved here in the early
Looking
80s leading up to
powder.
Do we want to skip to WrestleMania 3?
I would love to get some powder.
Mania's 1 and 2 there's not really anything to talk about other than there's the historical significance, but you're going to say something.
I forgot about one thing that almost killed Hogan and it ended up not hurting him at all. Have you guys ever seen what he did to Richard Belzer
dropped him on his head.
Where he put him in a front face lock?
Yeah, it was like a guillotine choke that went too far. He passed out, and then Richard Belzer him go and dropped him, and he bounced his head off the ground, and he busted his head off.
Yeah,
had
on a stage.
Hospital. Hey, during his show, Richard Belzer had a show that they did this on.
Yeah. It had to have been syndicated in New York, because I never heard of it, at least when we were kids.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know, but man, that could have fucking ended everything.
Yeah, I think him and McMahon had to pay. It was like a $5 million lawsuit.
Yeah.
Richard Belzer sued them, and McMahon paid half of it.
I'm sure insurance covered enough of that.
Well, I think they said the settlement amount was like $500,000 or something like that. Like, it was a lot less.
As we know, that'll be small potatoes when we start talking lawsuits.
It's true.
That was only the beginning.
Good point. But they also had Stossel and Schultz that about that same about
when Schultz went
months.
On. Was it Phil Donahue or whatever it was? Or
no, it was when he
later.
Was interviewing him in the locker room, and Stossel or Schultz slapped Stossel.
Oh, that's right.
That all happened. That's all leading up to WrestleMania 1.
About being fake, and he questions him, and he did.
All on Hogan's back. I mean, that was their guy. Him and Mr. T. All the Liberace, all the Muhammad Ali shit, that was all dressing for Hogan and Mr. T. I mean, that guy, basically, you can say as much as you want about, I'll pose it right now. Who built WWE, McMahon or Hogan?
McMahon.
I don't think, without Vince's vision.
Hogan was a
vision,
tool.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hogan was a tool. Vince did it.
You think he could have done it without him?
He'd have found someone else. Do I think he could have done it without a superstar? No, probably not. He needed that one person. But I just feel like Hogan was a tool, and he used him very good. You know what I mean? He knew how to work that tool.
Yeah, I don't know if you get as much charisma. I don't know if you get the interview, the look, the merchandise. I don't know if you get that out of somebody else.
Well, he's like a power drill. He can get the screw out. Vince McMahon could have got a butter knife. and done the same fucking job. It just would have took longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was just the right tool for the job.
It's a great debate.
Again, it goes back to who needed who
more?
No, but who would have been the guy if it weren't Hogan? Who would have Vince found? Who is it? Would have Savage got the ultimate push? Would have it, you know, what if things don't happen? Because if WrestleMania 1 and 2, one, not even 2, if WrestleMania 1 doesn't have that success, it's done.
I mean, Very much so.
It's done. So you can't really do the revisionist history and say, oh, you know, Ultimate Warrior could have done so, or but what I'm saying is, though, you can't look at Savage. You can't look at guys.
Ooh,
Savage only. I guess you could look at Savage, but could Savage have headlined WrestleMania 1?
Not at that time.
Not at that time.
In Memphis.
So there's nobody like that. That's the way I'm looking at it. So Lawler, I mean, like exactly. You look at the big figureheads at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Hogan was the only guy to do it. If they don't get through WrestleMania 1, there's no WWWF, no WWF, and then the territories kind of exist.
Mm-hmm. It was all timing. I agree with that. But I just don't know if Vern could have pulled that off. Hogan obviously came up with T-shirts, but would they have come up with dolls?
No.
And weight kits and videotapes?
No, because you have to have a lot of fucking money to do that. You have to have a lot of money to go out and make a deal with a Mattel or a whatever, you know, Galoob. Whoever made those first action figures.
Galoob.
They're not going to.
LGB, whatever.
They're not going to do that with a little regional company.
LJM.
Oh, you got TV and this, and this. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, AWA had action figures the next year.
Yeah, but someone was probably more willing to do it after they saw the success of the WWF.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, someone's more likely to take that jump after they've seen the success.
That's true, and pretty much the only ones that were bought were the Road Warriors. So, but you could say that about Hogan, but those other guys were making them too because the kids wanted to have a match, and if you want to have a match, then if you want to have a tag team match, then if you want to have a 10-man match, then they started making steel cages for it.
Yep. That's the Evolution. We should do a show on the Evolution of action figures.
We'd be here a while. It's a good show, though.
Yeah.
So let's jump to, we get through the Blue Cage with Bundy and all that big stuff. Good feuds.
What about this?
Kamala.
What's his next?
Harley Race.
What do you guys think's his next big thing? After slamming Andre, if you're doing a, you know, 20,000-foot view of Hogan's career, slams Andre, what's the next big thing he does?
Ever?
No, I mean just like in if you're doing a outline of his career, what's the next big move or next big feud or next big event you can point to? Would it be Saturday night's main event? Would it be the wrestling cartoon?
Fuck, man, think about that. Saturday night's main event's because of him too.
Yep.
What would it be that he was behind?
Shit, you could say Saturday night's main event's the next biggest thing.
That's kind of where I was.
I mean, you're playing into Saturday Night Live is taking their break, so here, you get wrestling on a Saturday night. I mean, I stayed up. My parents let me stay up however late.
Right.
Things ran until fucking midnight or 11:30, whatever time it would be.
And he was on all the early ones.
It had to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big star. This is a debate, not debate, but it's a question, or somebody made the point years ago. Hogan... They're comparing Hogan and Austin. Steve Austin was a regular. He was the biggest star, maybe the biggest star in the history of wrestling, based on attendance, merch, everything else.
Right.
Maybe outselling Hogan. I don't know if you put all Hogan shit together. I don't know if you can top him.
I think everybody wants to look at when Austin, that everybody just thinks T-shirts.
That's true. And he sold a shit ton of T-shirts. Yep. So did Hogan. But Austin was the superstar that you could touch and that you could relate to, and Hogan was like a superhero. He was something you couldn't touch, you couldn't get near him, you were just like, oh my God. But Austin, you're like, yeah, Austin. But Hogan, you're like, relatable. Oh, we love you.
I think Hogan's kind of a hybrid of Austin and The Rock, because Austin was mainstream, but Hogan had more mainstream success than Austin, I believe. Did more feature movies, you know, more appearances. Austin did his acting, but it was mostly bullshit stuff like Nash and Bridges or whatever the fuck.
The Expendables. Condemned. I love that movie, by the way.
Yeah. You know, The Rock outdid him on Hollywood by far.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock probably didn't do as much. His wrestling career wasn't as decorated. And people relate The Rock. They don't even relate The Rock to
wrestling
anymore.
I guarantee you their thinking was he was going to be The Rock.
Oh, 100%.
They thought he was going to be Schwarzenegger.
Yes, they thought he was going to be that next big action star.
And then No Holds Barred came out. And then they realized, fuck.
Is that the next? That's what I was going to say. Was Saturday Night's Main Event? Was it
Suburban Commando?
No Holds Barred was
you're
the
going
thing
down,
I was thinking.
Ramsey.
Was that the next?
You're a dead man.
You're a dead man, Ramsey.
I mean, they put so much into that. And
Mean Markel.
Good Lord.
Stan Hansen's in that. Terry Funk's in that.
Oh, that's right.
Christopher Lloyd.
Joan Severance.
Great
smoking
Scott.
Hot chick. Christopher Lloyd, that's Suburban Commando.
So why did they...
About. No, I was talking about No Holds Barred. Oh.
So I got a question, and this is something I don't know, and I didn't know as a kid, but they had the movie, and he wrestles Zeus.
Mm.
Why did they have a real match after the movie?
I wanted to make him a wrestler. Saw money in him.
So that was the whole reason, is just because of that.
I mean, I would guess.
And it's kind of weird that you do a movie about this.
Tiny Zeus Lester?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tiny Lester.
Lister? I don't know, Lister. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they thought putting him in the ring was a good idea. I mean, I don't know if they watched him before he actually got in and said, oh, fuck.
Well, they would have had to seen him in the movie and realize he really couldn't, you know, he was limited.
Yeah, but that's acting. That's standing in a spot and getting in the right frame and then hitting a guy and then, you know.
Sounds like if he had trouble doing that, though, he could probably figure out that he couldn't work.
I mean, it could have been just McMahon thinking, okay, well, the movie basically breaks even. So maybe he's just thinking, okay, well, we've got Zeus here. The movie breaks even. Let's see if we can just make a little more money off of him to make it worthwhile that we've got him on our dime.
God, that movie broke even.
I think.
Oh,
wow.
See, I loved it because I was a kid and it didn't matter. But I loved Hogan's matches because that shit didn't matter either.
Mm-mm.
I just wanted to see him Hulk up and drop the leg with the boot and pose. Hogan must pose. Anyway.
It's hard to go back and look at stuff at your childhood that you remember is so fucking great, and then you just like, ew, that was kind of rough.
See, now you say that, but I go back and watch the Road Warriors, and I'm like, yep, that's exactly how I remember it. Those guys beating the shit out of everybody, just fucking potatoing everybody. See, and
that's why I like Hogan's matches in Japan, because like they worked stiff. I mean, he could actually wrestle. Like, one of his matches with Abdullah on YouTube, it's a bloodbath.
I was going to say, he got busted open a few times.
I love it.
It was pretty bad.
He was a juicer.
Yeah.
Big juicer. But that takes you, I mean, do you guys want to talk about the Andre deal? I mean, is that something we want? I mean, it's been beat to death. I mean, WrestleMania 3, they put 93,000 in the fucking...
Well, and they, you know, Hogan's interviewed in the fucking Andre documentary and says that, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen in the match and, you know, wasn't sure, you know, because he's a giant and he could do whatever he wanted and, you know.
He just told me,
you'll see. Like,
which is bullshit.
Whatever the fuck he said. Like, to this day, the guy is so full of shit. he can't help it. He's just who he is. He's just a fucking...
Tells folk.
No, I just think he's lied so much, he believes the shit. Like, it's just, he believes the lies because he's told them for so long.
Yeah, you notice, I mean, people just don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
It has something to do with the racist thing. Just going to put it out there.
The lying, the racism, the thing with his kid, the divorce, the
show.
You have to remember, like, he was Mr. America to people, and then... Nobody's Mr. America. Everyone has their character flaws.
Well, I mean, Vince made him wear the mask. Oh, you mean you mean in general?
Yes.
He was Mr. America. He was Mr. Wholesome.
That's whatever. I mean, yeah.
Mm. He fucking sure put that to bed. And not in a good way.
Yeah, he did put her to bed, actually.
All right.
With a video going and...
Did you watch that?
How about we go back to Mania 3?
Come on.
Three.
All right.
I
Mania
know
3.
If you watched it.
We're going to get there. I did not watch it.
I don't believe it.
I saw his big naked ass.
Big naked ass.
Big old butt on that guy.
You know, they ruin our childhood. The more the years go, they just keep just piling on. Just say, hey, remember all your heroes? Those guys don't even exist.
Steroids. They were on steroids. Not Hulk Hogan.
Shit. But I knew what steroids were when I was 5 years old.
To that point, though, every big wrestling landmark or big thing, Hogan's involved in some way almost.
Absolutely.
The steroid trial. It's amazing how much he is involved with.
His longevity.
The Monday Night Wars don't happen if Hogan's not there. Which,
I gotta agree.
You're right. His move to WCW wasn't the best at the beginning. He was getting booed.
Yep.
People were tired of the shit.
Oh, I know.
You know.
He made the most of that, though. He made the most of that run.
Yes, he did.
You know what I mean?
He got great money out of the NWO.
That's true. We'll get there.
But it's just funny, like all the big things, like you talk Monday Night Wars and you really don't think Hogan. You think WCW versus WWE, Austin Rock.
Well, because one company went out of business.
But you forget that Hogan was the guy that really made that happen. If it's Sting that's the third guy in the NWO, no.
I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you still appreciate,
it, but it's not nowhere near as big if it's not Hogan. I really don't think so.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, you know that he's responsible because they started it.
Yeah.
You mean they don't focus on it enough?
Yeah, I feel like there's kind of this narrative out there that Hall and Nash and the NWO, it's not this big juggernaut if it's not Hogan that's the third guy. It doesn't get the reaction the next night or the night of if it's Sting, if it's Luger.
Very
if
true.
If it's Flair, if it's anyone else but Hogan.
We debated this, too.
So, I mean, that's my feeling. I mean, I just kind of feel that way.
Well, let's go back to, and we're going to get to WCW. This is going to be two parts because we're not going to get all the way through this.
Can I ask this? I don't know if this is one of your questions, but this is kind of a big thing about his first WWF run. What was your favorite feud that he was in, or what do you remember most from your childhood about a feud with him?
I know what mine is.
I got mine.
First WWF run? The big one, the big 80s, 80s into the early 90s? Go.
Warrior, Ultimate Warrior.
Motherfucker, yeah. I knew it.
See, I go with Undertaker. Really? And the only reason
What?
No, but the reason why is because he loses to Taker.
Yeah, I cried that night.
And then they do the Tuesday night in Texas.
Yep.
And that was something they had never done. Like, I just, for some reason, remember that as a kid. And I mean, I remember the Mega Powers. I remember that whole thing. I remember the Warrior. Mm-hmm. I remember the big deal. But for some reason, the Tuesday night in Texas and all that, I just that sticks out to me for some reason. And then Undertaker to go on to have the huge run that he has afterwards. I don't know why. It's just – and it wasn't a long
– No.
It wasn't a long feud. But
matches.
Yeah, I just remember that for some reason.
Mine's probably Hogan and Savage.
Same here. Reason?
It just felt different at the time. I mean, it was at the time where, so again, not to rehash, but as I was watching the product at the time, I was also going back and watching old VHS tapes from the movie store. The Hogan Savage feud was the first one I remember watching, like, as a kid as it happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it unfolds on TV in front of you at that age, then you get that's why one of the first feuds, like I would always watch those tapes and see Hogan when I was age 3, age 4, getting in there. But once Andre, I got to see the whole thing on Saturday mornings or Sunday morning with him ripping the shirt, and then not being able to get pay-per-view, but ESPN ran the results of WrestleMania 3. I remember watching it. To this very day, I know where I was sitting as they ran that. But Hogan and Savage, those were the first two pay-per-views I got to watch live. Mm-hmm. The Survivor Series, and then I got to watch WrestleMania 5.
Yep.
Those were the first ones I got to watch. So Hogan and Savage was like, I mean, I remember the whole thing with the Elizabeth
Saturday Night's main event.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they built shit like that so easy. Maybe not easy. Obviously, it took a lot of work, but they had guys to pull it off. It's amazing what happens when you don't have to run through a script every whatever.
Give a little creative leeway.
That's right through there. That is when they are just pumping money. They're just making, running 2-3 shows, which they had been doing for a few years. But Hogan and Savage, I mean, those are the arguably the two biggest stars to come out of that generation. I mean, everybody knows who Randy Savage is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, would we even have Slim Jims today if it wasn't for Randy Savage?
Oh, I think we'd have them.
I think Savage is more so than Warrior, even. Yeah, Warrior was bigger at the time, but I think that
Savage's memories lasted longer.
The name and everything.
Because Savage could wrestle. I mean, even at the time, Warrior was so bad, I feel like people watching it, they knew. So even though he had that superhero aura, it was like watching... I don't even know what word to put with it. It was just...
Train wreck?
I think that's putting it nicely.
Yeah.
The awful. Great promos?
Remember that weird fucking snort he used to do at the end of his promos?
Jesus Shove Christ, the plane into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan!
I loved Ultimate Warrior, and I'd get fucking embarrassed. Oh, he's doing that snort again. Jesus Christ.
And then he'd say like three real words, and the rest would be made up words?
Just dreadful.
Yeah.
You guys liked Ultimate Warrior's kids?
I did, yeah.
Did not like him.
See, I feel like younger kids, people younger than us did. We didn't. So, like, my brother was born in 88. My brother was more Warrior than Hogan. Ugh. But I think it was just his age versus my age. I was born in 82.
So a six-year age. I'm a little younger than
6-year age difference to where, like, that was, you know, the face paint or whatever might have been cooler for him at that age.
No,
I don't know. I mean, because there's got to be some type of psychology behind it.
I mean, obviously, I'm a paint guy. I love Sting. I just remember everybody would always, you know, 5-6 years later when the Monday Night Wars Nitro, they're like, Ultimate Warrior's coming to WCW. I'm like, oh, I just couldn't. Just never got into him. Never thought he was.
Yeah, I was the same way. I mean, the only Warrior.
Because you're like 85, born in 85, right?
Yeah.
So you're. I feel like there's probably some breaking off age to where people prefer Warrior over Hogan.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
I mean, let's put it this way. The only Warrior merch I ever had was the last of the wrestling buddies that I had yet to get. And I just.
You had the Million Dollar Man before him? Oh, wow.
So the Million Dollar Man, I think, was actually the second one I had because, like. You could only buy two of them, like, at our local Walmart or whatever it was, and we had to go, like, out of town to get the rest of them. So it was, like, by default, Hogan and DiBiase were the first two I had, and then I realized, oh, there's more of them, so let's get Savage and Jake Roberts, and
I had the Ultimate Warrior Book of Quotes.
What's that, like, three fucking pages?
No, that's
just one quote on paper.
It's actually there just it a dictionary they cut every word out of, jumbled it up, put it back together.
You don't even have a microphone?
What's that?
You don't even have a microphone?
Right here. Can you not hear me?
Now I can.
You know,
I just heard you yelling into the space.
Here's another thing with the Ultimate, not to go off on this, but like, just real quick on the Warrior.
He's a fucking
Some of the
psychopath.
Stuff this guy said about gays and about his feeling.
Queering doesn't make the world go round.
Could you imagine?
Don't have an orgasm on me, honey.
But they have an award named after him now.
It cannot last much longer.
Because someone's going to bring it up. Everybody's digging
into
the past.
They brought it up.
And, you know, the Moolah, they felt the pressure to change the name of the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. I'm waiting for someone to bring all this shit up, he said.
It can't last much longer.
I think it'll eventually happen, and they'll rename it and call it the Dana Warrior, name it after his wife or some bullshit.
Dana Warrior. Your last name's Warrior.
Didn't he have his name changed, right?
Yeah, totally.
Call it like the Zach Gowan Award or something.
Jesus.
Yeah, because none of that was bad with McMahon making fun of him. And
he doesn't have a leg to stand on, ladies and gentlemen.
The episode.
Not with this argument.
I don't remember watching this, but I heard it on the podcast that they had Sable act like she was into him. And then at the very end of the episode, McMahon comes in and she calls him a loser or one legged loser or something. You think you'd have a real chance with me. And then
Zach Gowan got over because of Hulk Hogan.
Starts making out with
which we'll get
Vince.
To.
Yeah. I mean, and that's your point. Like, there's no way you can do this in an hour or 2 hours because.
No.
I mean, we're still.
I mean, we haven't even talked about all the American shit with the Saudi Arabia, with the war going on. Slaughter that takes
That's
over Mania.
One I remember. Yeah.
I mean, him going with, and they never did Hogan Flair in WWF, and that didn't make any sense to me. I mean, obviously that means Hogan wouldn't let him go over.
Why'd they change that at Mania? Was it because he was leaving?
I think so. You would have had to have him lay down. You're not going to have Hogan lay down at a WrestleMania until, what, 10 years later?
Yeah. And I mean, you still have, you know, the steroid case. I mean, there's so much.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so just real quick, and then we can kind of fast forward to wherever you guys want to go.
No,
so,
I think we're almost done because we're going to be two parts.
Well, I think it's going to
be
more
four.
Than that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Hogan and Andre had three, I guess what you'd consider high-profile matches. So you had Mania 3, you had the main event, and you had Mania 4.
Which Shea is, Stadium.
Well, yeah, I'm going just those
just
three.
Just that current? Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Are you counting the cage match at Milwaukee County Stadium?
WrestleFest? Yes. We can include that, I guess.
Okay.
So, you know, Andre's not going to climb that cage.
Try and go out the door.
So, of those four, which is your guys' favorite? Because I've seen all four.
Three is the most iconic. Shit. I mean, in my opinion, just because of the, you know... The amount of people, the body slam.
Oh, I forgot. That's how they had to pin him with two referees. Fuck, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, that's what I was talking with Eric earlier before we even started. Me and Eric had a lengthy discussion before the show.
Well, good thing, because you haven't shut the fuck up since we got in here, Eric.
But, okay, so here's what I find interesting. Mania 3 was one of the wrestling magazines. I think it was an Observer or whatever, basically said that was their worst worked match of 87. But then fast forward to the main event in 88, which I thought was also a terrible match as far as, you know, technical wrestling, whatever. That was what's another magazine that's out there? PWI. That was their best match of 88.
Yeah, so, but that's also because they drew 33 million.
True. But I mean, I don't know.
It's the most watched wrestling match in history.
Yeah, what was it, like a 20? What was their...
You mean time?
Just their overall rating.
Oh, they got 33 million viewers.
I just remember it being like a ridiculous, like 20 point
I'm sure
something
it was.
Number. But.
Yeah, I mean, that's. But still, Mania 3. I love that match. I think it's good. The whole stare down, everything, just the look. That's the best match. It's kind of like, I mean, Hogan and Rocky, you watch it with the sound, or Hogan and Rocky, Hogan and The Rock. Watch it with the sound off. It's a fucking, it's dreadful.
Yeah.
Crowds make matches. At least where I come from.
Well, I mean, God, that's something, you just forget about that. The magnitude of that, and yeah.
I'm just glad no one said the Mania 4 match, because at least of those four, even the cage match, I thought Mania 4 was just possibly next, and we'll get to this eventually. Next to the Hogan Warrior WCW match was probably the worst Hogan match I've ever seen.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Jesus.
So do you blame Hogan for that, or Andre's?
It wasn't Andre's fault, because McMahon wanted him. Hey, we need you to stay and, you know, work matches and this and that. But his last good year was like 83.
Yeah,
I mean, it got to the point where like. I mean, have you seen the documentary HBO did?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just, like, because when you're a kid, you don't realize it. And you go back and I'm seeing some of this stuff for the first time, the footage of, you know, looking at it as an adult. I'm like, you can just tell it hurt the guy to walk.
He put on so much weight.
To stand on the apron was hard for him to do.
From 80 to 83 to 85, he put on, I mean, at least 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm. But when you drink...
Yeah,
12,000 calories a day.
Well, when you're rich and you, I mean, he wasn't starving. He was making a shit ton of money, making more money than anybody else in the business was making. Special attraction, getting pulled in for everything.
He was doing that like till like 3 or 4 months before he died. Even I mean, yeah. There are matches from him from like 92 in
Mexico.
Japan. Yeah, Mexico.
In Japan.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah.
Oof. It's rough. I mean, it's sad to watch. I mean, he's like you said, he just stands on the apron for the most part, but he's just like hunched over.
Then when
he'd
go down to the ground, I mean, he'd have to have help getting up and pull himself by the rope. I mean, I just don't remember that as a kid. You know, and
we didn't see it as a kid.
Yeah,
But yeah, him pulling himself up on the apron just at WrestleMania 3 and 4 and just having to hold him. Yeah, it wasn't good, but it made a lot of money.
And yeah, it did.
I mean, he was able to retire very comfortably and leave it to his daughter, so God bless him. But Hogan, I mean, we're pretty much there. We're towards the end of the WWF run.
I mean, you just got to talk about the end where, you know, they make
Yokozuna.
They make it look like they're going to do Hogan and Flair, and they just don't.
Yeah, but then he comes back and he fucks Bret Hart over. Well, that's up for debate, too. They went from Hogan to Bret Hart.
Well, think why.
Steroids.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you have to go the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Technical wrestler.
Hogan slimmed down. Hogan slimmed down so much from like 91 to 93. I mean, he looked like he had dropped fucking 40 pounds.
Going to staring prison in the aisle due to you.
No, he wasn't going to go to prison.
Oh, that's right, because he fucking rolled over on Vince. Never mind.
He did, too.
Yeah.
He sure did. But even that.
And people today talk about CM Punk not going back to WWF. WWE. I always call it WWE.
Whatever, so do I.
But for McMahon to allow Hogan back after that, money to be made. So I still think there's that possibility of Punk to go back because there's money to be made.
Well, still, you could say he didn't even really roll over on him because he said, oh, he didn't make us take him.
Yeah,
and that was
true.
All he needed. Yeah. I mean, unless it had been a mandate, a company that had written it on a piece of paper, it's your word against theirs.
Yeah.
And they could just be, anybody could pull in and say, oh, they're just bitter. That's what they've always done.
Oh, well, yeah.
Wouldn't so you?
Any disgruntled employee from the company?
It's not like those pride contracts that showed up online says we do not test for anabolic steroids.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically, so going forward, you had all of his headline Mania matches where he was in the world title picture. Pretty much each match was, you know, the same as far as having a formula, minus the Mania 6 match where he lost. But you had fast forward Mania 8 where
he tries to get Warrior over, though.
Right.
Make him the guy.
Right, and it didn't work.
Doesn't work.
WrestleMania 7, you've got Slaughter and the whole Gulf War stuff going on. And
I remember that feud because it started on Saturday Night Main Event.
Yeah.
There was a bit like that whole.
So, okay, what are your guys' thoughts on the whole, I don't even know if it's how much fact there is to it, but they were going to run the big stadium across the street that was
Coliseum.
100,000 people. But then for security reasons, they had to move it to, what was it, a 12,000-seater?
LA Coliseum.
Or Forum?
Los Angeles Sports Arena.
So.
Yeah, the smaller one.
Wow. Yeah, that wasn't security reasons.
Well, Forum's in Inglewood. Yeah. So but, that wouldn't be the heart of where they were trying to
I don't
it.
See them.
Plus, they always ran the sports arena.
I don't see them turning away 6,000, unless they couldn't get in the Forum.
Very possible.
That's in basketball season at that time.
I just think they weren't selling tickets.
They weren't. That was the problem.
I mean, I think the whole security thing is a bunch of garbage. They thought
Slaughter was going to blow up the arena because he had went to the.
Well, no, I think it was like there.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
He just all the death threats and this and that, and they wanted him to always wear a bulletproof vest and this and that. And I just think there might be some truth to that, but at least as far as running the show in the Coliseum.
Now, is this Hogan saying he had to wear? They wanted him to wear a bulletproof vest, and they asked him to.
No, this is Slaughter.
Slaughter.
Oh,
Slaughter was saying that.
That sounds like something.
I don't know if it was McMahon or someone said that. You know, you might want to wear a bulletproof vest.
They got bomb threats at his house.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just
so there was real heat in '92. I mean, like back 91. Then, 91. That there was real heat then.
God, look at how much they milked that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they milk shit today?
Well, I mean, that's what I was about ready to say. They play off the work. Can you imagine right now? I mean, I guess they kind of did with that
Muhammad Hassan. And then immediately released him once advertisers started backing out.
But he wasn't like from Detroit or something? He wasn't, not even really.
No.
Yeah, so I
wanted to be an actor. I mean, what if they milk shit today?
There's so
look at how much you could do.
The political stuff you could do right now. I mean, think about this. How much did the K kid that wrestled Oklahoma, Jack
Swagger.
Swagger, yeah. And oh gosh,
Cesaro.
No, but the
Zeb Coulter.
Zeb.
Dirty Dutch Mantel.
Dutch Mantel got that character over because he came out and he started cutting promos, and then next thing you know, they're wanting him on CNN, and ooh, they just cut it dead.
What would you do if Zeb Coulter came back and they had Linda McMahon in front of Congress just testifying? What the fuck is this? I don't think that'd go over real well. This Senate panel hearing with Linda McMahon getting questioned. Hey, we read up. Did you put all these companies out of business? Don't you run the small business side of this deal?
Yeah, you just signed.
No politics.
Just signed a billion.
How many times I got to tell you, Eric?
$1 billion.
I don't do politics, man. I make fun of them.
$1 billion TV deal.
Oof.
Billion small for a small business.
Oh man,
their stock's up to $75 or $76 right now. And it's never been worse.
Jesus. I don't get it.
So Hogan beats Slaughter, becomes the American hero again. Oh, blah, blah. No, you're good. Blah, 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 blah. Forward to Mania 8. Wrestle Sid in a train wreck of a match. They bring the Warrior back in a missed spot. So Sid has to kick out of the leg drop to improvise.
Mm. And then he goes and plays softball. Okay, so to the next WrestleMania.
Sid.
Yeah.
Swings a mean stick.
The motherfucker just loves softball.
You play with Cromer.
Inside
so
joke.
Somewhere before Mania 9, supposedly Hogan gets into an accident, yeah. Hence the black eye.
And he was fucking somebody's wife.
Savage. So,
allegedly.
Savage. No. Who? Whose wife was it?
Who knows? It's probably somebody's. So, allegedly.
How old was Stephanie at this time?
All right.
Well, I'm just, there's rumors.
Okay.
Out there.
So you had Hogan and Beefcake against.
Yeah, this DiBiase is after Beefcake. This is after Beefcake's parasailing act.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? It was. That's why he wore that fucking mask. Whatever that was. The X across his face? Red and yellow? Nobody remembers this?
I
heard through a window and Jesus had to wear that Beefcake, right?
Yeah, but it was a parasailing or paragliding.
Oh, that's what happened in real life.
Yeah.
Parasailing,
yeah.
Is a fucking bummer.
He didn't catch like fucking glass from Jannetty and Michaels and he had to put that on a year later. No.
Oh jeez.
He tried to dive through the window.
He tried to escape. We need to do a show on Heenan.
Exactly. Oh, it'll happen.
So then Hogan.
You get to Zuna and Hogan at Mania with him fucking hard over. And look at the transition they were going to make. This is the single greatest run by any wrestler ever, this Hogan run. Nobody ever pulled this off. This was 9 years long, damn near 10 years long. Mm-hmm. Agree or disagree? And if it is not, who has a better one? Well,
I agree.
John Cena. Jesus
no,
Christ.
But who had the? I mean, who had the belt forever?
San Martino.
Yeah, I mean Bruno's run was. I mean, but it was regional. But Bruno's run on top.
It was Northeast.
Yeah,
that's the only thing you can really compare to it.
Yeah, but this run of headlining and pay per view comes into play.
There's nothing you can say about that.
Merchandise comes
I mean, if you're going to include all time, I mean, it's like. You can go back past San Martino to NWA where Lou Thesz was having 2,000-day reigns or something like that. It's anyway. So then Hogan and Hart were supposed to have a series of
that's the rumor.
Three matches, and then eventually Hogan was supposed to put Hart over at SummerSlam, wouldn't do it.
According to the Gospel of Bruce.
And then he's out the door. So
and off to make come on.
Thunder in Paradise
is how they eased Jesus him into the Christ. Company.
Thunder in Paradise.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Well, what a way to end part one. Jesus. It fucking kind of goes off the rails, and then it becomes the second greatest run in the history of the... Well, no. Eh, but it was pretty goddamn big.
It's up there.
The WCW leading into all this other shit, and we're going to cover it all short form. Because there's a lot to cover in part two.
A lot.
I have a feeling this is going to be at least a three-parter.
it has to be.
Big Easy?
Sir?
How many parts would you like to make the whole Coggin show?
Seven?
I like
seven.
It.
Seven parts?
That's what the territories one turned into. Holy shit.
It was about that.
Yeah, because we went from this to the Monday Night Wars, and then we just...
Wow, there's a nice big applause going on.
Somebody's apparently dying outside of us.
Like he does everybody else.
Or somebody's being shot in the room outside of us. So, what? Come on, other thoughts on Hogan's WWF basically turning the business into mainstream? Because that's what he did. Cover Sports Illustrated on MTV. We didn't even talk about MTV. Jesus.
Yeah.
Word of Sell. This is all the crossover stuff between, you know, the rock and wrestling.
God damn, a cartoon.
Yeah, I mean...
What in the fuck is going on outside of our studio? There's something going on. I think somebody's getting hazed outside of our studio.
No, we're probably taking someone's time up in here, and this is a passive-aggressive bitch move.
Think so?
Maybe.
Either that or just the Wi-Fi's gone out again.
Could be. Looks like that has happened.
That could be it.
All right, well, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice. Man, we missed rock and wrestling.
Maybe we can get in tomorrow. I
fucking love that
cartoon. Try to find some time to get in tomorrow and do some.
And we could just do it next week.
Okay,
we'll be back here. We'll be back here next week, and Eric and Big Easy will actually talk.
Next week I'll be a lot more into it. I would like to personally apologize to the audience for at least my lack of talking this week. I've been kind of preoccupied over here on the back end, being as much as I can. But
he's just putting together a collage of NWO pictures.
That's right.
Speaking of NWO, I saw a weird picture.
No. He's back.
This is real quick. So they released never-before-seen pictures of the NWO on WWE.com this weekend. Hogan, this is just Hogan's psyche. Hogan appears to be 3 inches taller than Nash and Hall in this picture.
No.
It's cut off. He's standing on something.
Oh, I just saw that on...
It was on the website or Twitter or somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was like, are you that fucking insecure? Like...
I think he's just supposed to be the focal point that it was him coming back and these two guys are coming back
but
with him.
Jesus. I mean, come on. Just let the guys be taller than you.
Insecure dude.
Okay, we also didn't mention Hogan's tag match against the Road Warriors. I put that on there for a reason.
With Tenru. Fuck. Dude, there's a lot of shit to do. I mean, we're trying to cover everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's all coming.
Uh-huh.
We're getting to the porn, and we're getting to the kids and the music really business.
We're talking about him and Heather Klim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really call that porn. Sex tape.
It's pornography.
You consider that porn? I would accidental, maybe.
I mean,
but
she didn't really. They didn't show anything of her, and what I saw, she was covered. They're just kind of the back.
I guess I've never seen it.
All I saw was the 2-minute clip.
We're gonna watch it next week, folks, live on air.
Man.
Yes. Yes.
We'll have it down in the corner on YouTube.
No press, bad press. We'll take any press we can get.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna skim through the steroid trial and talk about the NWO and how Hulkamania ran wild in Atlanta for about 30 seconds next week. We got a bunch of shit to cover next week. We got to have him go back to the WWF. We got a lot of...
Tons and tons. Could be three.
Anything could be three. Gents, that's going to be it. We'll be back with part two next week. So, for T.O., would anybody want to put a wrap on this? Is there a wrap?
No.
Anybody want to put a bandage around their waist? Say they have broken ribs for WrestleMania 2 or anything?
No,
but let's thank Alex again for bringing in those badass belts.
Yeah, and speaking of that, isn't that the belt that Warrior won from Hogan in 6? I remember him having the white belt.
No, that was still this one. Warrior eventually had the white one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Warrior had the freaking rainbow of winged eagle belts. He had the white.
Blue,
the lavender.
Yet he hated the gay people. You would think with somebody with that color palette, he would have... Yeah, anyway.
Whatever.
What do you do?
Well, that's how this show's ending. So, Three Horse will be back next week with part two of the Hulk Hogan Show. For T.O., for Alex, for Eric, for Big Easy, we're out of here. See you next week.
See you next week, everybody.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.